Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Pony Express.
And coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio, Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It's the Pony Express, another ride on the Pony Express this Sunday morning into the afternoon on the East Coast. CBS Sports Radio, cbssportsradio.com, radio.com app. And also on Sirius XM channel 206, one of my favorite days of the year. Second round of the NCAA tournament about to get underway with Iowa and Tennessee, an Iowa team. The coach has been suspended. They fired a broadcaster this year for comments. It's been a tumultuous year, but you get to the Sweet 16 and all is forgiven. And they'll take on Tennessee, a team that was ranked number one earlier in the year and really has not lived up to that ranking since fizzling out in the SEC tournament early and escaping the first round near upset. Colgate was neck and neck with them late. So we'll get an update on that game in about a half hour here on CBS Sports Radio. Calvin Sampson, you heard there, who does not have the best reputation as a educator, as the leader of a college basketball program, pretty good coach. Wins everywhere he goes, but it usually comes at a cost. Team gets in trouble, probation, he gets fired or unceremoniously leaving. But makes a comment there about NCAA hypocrisy that I think we can all agree. We can all agree that the NCAA really does a terrible job with PR, with the way they try to brand themselves as a sport for amateurs, played by amateurs, the way that they dole out the student-athlete term and use that all the time, that in one breath they talk about how this competition, this NCAA tournament, should be cherished and praised and respected and adored because of what these kids, what these student athletes have to do to compete and participate, etc. And while they're doing that, acting like they're this non-for-profit, this organization, this enterprise that keeps their interests in mind and at heart, that they always do what's right for the players, for the college kids, they say that and then they do the other. It's the NCAA tournament, the biggest games of the year, multi-billion dollar event. And Calvin Sampson says the parents of the kids who are playing don't have a place to stay. They don't have travel taken care of. They don't have hotel rooms taken care of. Immediate families, fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, can't afford to go to these games. In my hand, I have an article. Darren Revelle, Business of Sports writer. March 7th, 2018, so last year. Headline, NCAA tops $1 billion in revenue during the 2016-17 school year. First sentence of the story. The NCAA pulled in more than $1 billion in revenue for the first time in history. The $1.06 billion in revenue from September 16th through August 17th is reported in audited financials the organization released. The majority of the revenue came from its usual source, the NCAA men's basketball tournament. The NCAA pulled in $761 million from the 2017 NCAA tournament. That number is set to rise to $869 million this year. The NCAA generated $129.4 million in ticket revenue and $60 million in marketing rights for the 2017 fiscal year. $1 billion in revenue. And the NCAA can't afford to send parents, brothers, and sisters to games. Kelvin Sampson, "This is my life," he said. "Parents call me and ask if I can sleep on my son's hotel room floor." You tell me if that makes any sense. If you're one of these people who says the scholarship is worth it, these players claim they don't get paid, they're getting more than a salary, they're getting an education. Even those people who believe that, who think it's ridiculous or ludicrous to pay college basketball players, to pay college football players, you tell me if this sounds right to you, or if this is an old-fashioned greed, old-fashioned, we're going to take and take and take and get as much as we can, and we don't really care about the kids who are, you know, putting in the man hours, who are making sacrifices, who are the reason why everybody watches. We don't care about them. We just care about our bottom line. $1 billion in revenue in 2017 off the NCAA tournament alone 2 years ago. The NCAA made $761 million. And why won't they send parents to games? They can't afford it. It's breaking a cardinal rule. We can't shell out money to parents, families. You know, this is, you know, we put it in our song. This is one shining moment. Everything's on the line. All eyes are on us. Making memories you'll never forget. And the memories are so good that CBS and Turner are going to pay us an unbelievable sum of money. $60 million a year to broadcast it. But we can't afford, or we choose not to send parents and kids, their brothers and sisters, to games. Do you really think that the scholarship is enough? That as long as the guys that are playing are getting a scholarship and getting their meals taken care of and getting their own transportation taken care of, that that's enough? This game just tipped off. Tennessee and Iowa. Your Grant Williams parents. Your Admiral Schofield's parents. It's the biggest games of their lives. And unless you're well off, upper income, you've got to make unbelievable financial sacrifices to go to these games. Is that fair? You tell me if that's right. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. The College Football Playoff Committee, because it's not an NCAA-run event, they're independent, they pay for travel expenses. Bill Hancock, we know how, this is the director of the College Football Playoff, we know how expensive travel can be, so we're pleased to provide assistance to parents or guardians who want to see their sons play in the first ever college football national championship. This was 4 years ago. They said, if we're going to put on this event, we got to make sure the people who help make these men, we got to make sure they're there. We got to make sure they're in attendance. We just got this pot full of gold from ESPN. Well, we got to pay it forward at least a little bit, then make sure their parents are there to watch the games. I just looked up hotel room prices in Washington, D.C., East Region, Sweet 16 will be there. Cheapest room, and this is without the fees, and you know every city has tacked on fees and taxes and whatnot. You know, we got to figure out a way to pay for these stadiums and arenas that we build. So what we do is we tax people that come and stay in our hotels. We tax people who want to rent cars in our cities. We try to pass it on to visitors. We make them deal with the added fee to justify coming up with these coliseums and arenas for these games to be played in. So they bear the brunt of it. And so you go to Washington, D.C. right now for these games next week, you can't find a hotel room before fees cheaper than $160. So you're staying there for three nights, maybe four. You got to tack the fees on. We're talking about what, $500 maybe? You think a lot of low-income or middle-income families can afford that? And then you keep playing. You got to do it every round. Or you make the tough decision that, you know what, my son, this might be his last college game. I'd love to be there, but I can't afford it. Look, the great thing about the NCAA tournament is it's so entertaining that things like this, where families get screwed, where the players who are sweating and putting in so many man hours and they've got so much sweat equity in this, the people who will love them and have taken care of them and have made them into what they are have to pay an additional price to watch these games. The tournament's so good, we forget about stuff like this. And I credit Kelvin Sampson. He's up there drinking out of an NCAA paper cup with an NCAA logo behind him. And he made this point yesterday. Good for him. Because it's the height of NCAA hypocrisy. They're taking in $1 billion. And they can't get families to these games. This is what makes people like myself hate the NCAA. This is what makes us so critical of their endeavors because they're so two-faced. If it's about the athletes, tell me why their families don't get reimbursed, don't get hotel rooms, and travel for free. 855-212-4CBS. What do you think about this? For the crowd out there who like to call into shows like this and argue and say, the players don't deserve to get paid. The scholarship is enough. They're getting an education, getting paid for. Have you seen the escalating price of college and I have college debt or I'm paying for my son or daughter's college? I'd love for my kid to be there on a full free ride right now. Even those folks, when you hear this, that the NCAA doesn't pay for the families of players to be at this game, these games, how does that make you feel? Is there any defending that? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. If you think that's unfair, or if you think that's exploitation, wait till you hear what CBS is doing later today with Zion Williamson. I want to get your thoughts on that, too. If you don't want to call in, you're always free to text me or tweet me, excuse me. I guess you could text me if you had my number. You can tweet me at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. First game of the day is underway. You'll get an update in about 15 minutes. I'm Andrew Filippone. It's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Pony Express.
And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Zion Williamson on CBS's Zion Cam. Have you heard about this? CBS producer Mark Wolf telling the News and Observer in Raleigh, North Carolina, that the network will put one camera on Zion the entire game. So it will be focused on him in every Duke game. Wolf, quote, because of Zion, we have added a camera dedicated to him the whole time he is on the floor. We hired a cameraman, a camera, a digital tape machine to record everything he does. We were recording his workout here today. This was prior to Duke's game against North Dakota State. We were recording his workout here today in the event something were to happen. We're monitoring Zion 24/7. One camera on one player. 24/7 access. Player doesn't get paid. That makes sense to you? Because it doesn't to me. You tell me how that's fair. You're going to have unlimited access. You are hiring additional people, not because Duke or the NCAA tournament is that big or is too big. You need extra help. You are hiring people just to follow me. And maybe Zion doesn't get sympathy because in a couple of months he's going to cash in and he's going to be the number one pick in the NBA draft, and then the endorsements are going to follow. But right now, how is it okay for CBS and Turner Sports to capitalize and to make so much of their broadcast about one player, and that player sees $0 and 0 cents for it? One guy gets his own camera. They'll follow around one guy the entire time. Hey, I love the NCAA tournament, but I have to make this deal with myself where I close my eyes and I pretend certain things the NCAA does or certain things the NCAA's broadcast partners do don't exist to me. And this is one of them. When you're in the pros, okay, LeBron James's mom shouldn't have all of her flights and all of her meals and all of her hotel rooms paid for by the Lakers. They're giving LeBron, whatever it is, $30 million a year. He's worth over $100 million. He can afford to do that. Zion Williamson's parents, for example, these games are in Columbia, South Carolina, so that's not a good example because it's right down the road from him. But in the next round, they're going to have to pay for their hotel rooms and they're going to have to pay for their travel. They have to fly to the next game. They'll have to do it. When the Final Four is in Minneapolis and they'll have to make up their minds, should we drive? Should we fly? They'll have to pay for all of it. And well, hey, it's a short-term loss for a long-term gain. They'll go in their pockets for a couple $1,000s, and then when Zion's a pro, they'll make it all back. But that's not the point to me. That's not the point, because if you're Jack White's parents, or if you're Alex O'Connell's parents, or if you're Delorier's parents, or if you're James Bolden's parents, you're not going to cash in like Zion Williamson at the end of the year, and yet you still want to see your kids play. You know, not every family who sends a kid to Duke is rich. I think David Robinson's son is a walk-on there. I saw him at the ACC tournament. Probably doesn't hurt David Robinson's bottom line that there are games in Minneapolis. He's a millionaire a few times over. He can get to and from games no problem, but that's not true of everybody. And I even know some people that I think have gotten smart. The NCAA ratings have been excellent, have been outstanding. But I think there are some fans who are so turned off by this that they don't watch the games as much anymore. You see more and more professional athletes come out of the woodwork to rip the NCAA. Alvin Kamara, there was a tweet that the NCAA sent out last night that said, student athletes, players in the NCAA tournament are provided free Wi-Fi by the NCAA. They were bragging about free internet service. The NCAA is making $60 million off this tournament. They're bragging about how kids don't have to use all of their data when they're staying in their hotel rooms. And the NCAA looks at this as if it's some kind of olive branch or nice deed, or like they're doing something right by their players. And so Kamara ripped him. I saw Joe Hayden, Steelers corner, former Browns corner, former Florida corner, say the same thing. Jay Billis jumped in on it, as you would expect. So, just why not just let a guy like Zion Williamson, while he's in school, if Nike wants to pay him to wear their sneakers, great. If Zaxby's wants to pay Zion Williamson to do a commercial bragging about their new lunch menu, fine. If a dealership in Durham wants him to talk about how he loves Ford trucks, I say go for it. It's his likeness. And just because he's in college doesn't mean he shouldn't be able to use his name for profit. I never have understood that. Why do we suspend our ability to make money off ourselves, our names, what we do? The NCAA doesn't own the name Zion Williamson. Why should they temporarily have it while he's in school? Because they think if they open it up, it's going to screw up competitive balance, and it's going to make it easier for teams like Duke to get these types of players. They're already getting them now. Like, it's not like the Woffords and UNC Greensboros of the world can get Zion Williamson now. So why not just let them, if you don't want to pay him, let somebody else pay him. And then we can, and the NCAA can get out of the business of being like the moral and ethical police. And when somebody breaks academic rules, they can step in there. But if they don't have to worry about petty cash payments or free lunches, stuff that really doesn't affect the integrity of a college education one bit. You're not less of a college student if you're going to classes and somebody, by the way, is paying you an extra $5,000 to $10,000 a month. There are plenty of kids who juggle their jobs and their athletic careers while in school. Coming up next, one of the biggest stories in this NCAA tournament has been Tom Izzo's reaction to a player's lousy effort. And that player, who was dressed down and belittled, has commented on his coach. And so now that we've heard that player's side of the story, I wonder how that affects your opinion on Izzo and what transpired. I've got some thoughts on that, and I want to hear yours too. At 855-212-4CBS, that's 855-212-4227. You can follow us on Twitter at CBS Sports Radio. I'm at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I.
You're listening to the Pony Express.
Aaron Henry, the Michigan State player that was dressed down by Tom Izzo during its first round squeaker against Bradley. The team itself played much better against Minnesota last night, and the Spartans are back in the Sweet 16 for the first time in 5 years. Now, many have come to Tom Izzo's defense. The debate about his behavior has sparked a visceral reaction from people who think that that kind of tough love is good coaching. And a lot of those same critics have said it is once again proof, evidence, that there has been a softening up of America, that if we're going to criticize coaches for doing their jobs, then there's a problem with how we administer discipline and how we treat younger people in this country. To which there are a few things I'd like to say about that. The first one is, if a coach wants to yell at a player and get in his face a little bit, I have no problem with that. Now, I think it's not a solution or it's not an answer for every player. I don't think that kind of coaching, when you communicate a message that way, it's not for everyone. When you get screamed at or yelled at work, and that's how your boss goes into meetings or job reviews, when your position is assessed and analyzed at your job, when a boss screams and yells and curses you out and raises his voice, that does not work on everyone. It motivates some, but not everybody. Some respond better to criticisms that are wrapped in compliments. Tom Izzo, I don't think, is that kind of coach. And you need to know that, or you need to be aware of it going in. You choose where you play. In Aaron Henry's case, Michigan State was not the only school that made an offer. He's from Indianapolis. He could have picked any school in that state. He wanted to go play for Archie Miller at Indiana. He could have. He wanted to play for Matt Painter at Purdue. He wanted to play at Butler. He wanted to play at Notre Dame. I mean, he had his pick of the litter. He picked to play for Michigan State. He said in part because of the way he was raised, what his parents instilled in him. There was a lot of tough love. It sounded like there was even some corporal punishment in there from his parents. That they believe that's the best way, that they want their kid coached that way. But there is one thing that I don't think is acceptable from a head coach, even if that head coach is known for his abrasive, in-your-face style of coaching. I don't think there is ever a good reason to get physical with a player. And so when a player's personal space is violated, when a coach chest bumps a player, puts his finger in his chest, grabs the player violently, that's where I draw the line. Because I don't think that's appropriate or fair. You can yell at me. You can call me every name in the book. You can say things about my parents. Whatever you want, you can attack me with your words to try to persuade me to perform better. That's your call. But the second you infringe on that, and it doesn't have to be like so violent where you're choking me, like Bob Knight, but I think as soon as a coach puts his hands on a player, all bets are off. And at that point, I think the player is pretty much free or allowed to do anything he wants back. Anything he wants back. I mean, we clearly do not tolerate when a player gets physical with a coach. Remember that happened in the national championship game a couple years ago? An Alabama player put his hands on an Alabama coach. We obviously know what Latrell Sprewell did 20-plus years ago. Now, Tom Izzo did not choke Aaron Henry, but he was physical. And that's what I don't like. There was a coach at Penn State this year, Pat Chambers, their basketball coach there. He really got into a player, shoved a guy, and got suspended for it. Now, what is that? Is that tough love? If I hit you, is that tough love? Educator's a loose word, but, you know, loose definition of an educator is a college basketball coach. But someone who represents the university, should they get physical with a player? I don't think so. I don't think there's ever a good reason for that. So, hey, I credit Aaron Henry for taking the high road. He has to here. What is he going to do? Criticize his head coach publicly? Maybe he is being honest that he has no problem with the verbal assaults or the high energy reprimands and insults from his coach, whatever it takes to get him going, okay, fine. But when there's physical contact, I think that now we're into a whole different domain. And when that happens, I don't think we should make excuses for the coach. Coach screams and yells. Coach raises his voice. Coach drops a couple F-bombs. You know, we're all adults. We can deal with that. I don't think it's the best way of communicating a message. I don't think it's great coaching. But Tom Izzo's record speaks for itself. It's worked for him over the years. Don't play the physical card, though. 855-212-4CBS. What do you think? Did Tom Izzo cross a line? When you get physical with a player, do you think there's ever a good excuse or a good reason for that? 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. On Twitter, at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can follow us on Twitter at CBS Sports Radio. It's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio. You could tell Alexa to play us. Just when you get home, say, Alexa, play CBS Sports Radio. They'll put us on. Radio.com app. It's free to listen. You can stream us when you're at work, CBSSportsRadio.com. Tennessee with a big lead on Iowa early. We're on pace for maybe a record low. Only one lower seeded team, meaning the team by seed line that was expected to lose, has won so far in the second round. That was Auburn over Kansas late last night, and Auburn was favored in Vegas. 2-point favorite on Kansas. They won the game by 14. That's the only upset so far. Typically, a couple 2 seeds lose, and typically a 1 seed loses in the second round. 2 seeds are 3-0 so far, and it looks like Tennessee is on its way to making it 4-0. And I think that has to do with the way the 7-10 games went in the first round. For instance, If Nevada beats Florida, I think Nevada gives Michigan a better game. Nevada was a better team than Florida. They were ranked in the top 25 all year. They went to the Sweet 16 last year. I think Louisville gives Michigan State a better game than Minnesota. We now know, based on the results of 2 matchups between those 2 teams, that when Michigan State and Minnesota play, advantage Michigan State big. 20-point wins both times they played. Other 2-seed matchup from yesterday, Kentucky-Wofford. Wofford really doesn't have the athletes to keep up with Kentucky. Seton Hall does. And Kentucky was without its best player, P.J. Washington, for that game. So maybe if Seton Hall squeaks by Wofford, they give Kentucky a better game. And here, I think, is the game going on right now is the best example. If it's Cincinnati, a team that won 28 games, beat Houston in the American tournament, if Cincinnati beats Iowa, a team they had a 13-point lead on, if Cincinnati's playing Tennessee right now, the game is in Columbus, Ohio. It's a home game for Cincinnati. So not only does Tennessee have to beat the Bearcats, they've got to beat the fans too. And one of the oldest cliches or one of the oldest axioms about college sports is the hardest thing to do is win on the road. Road wins are gold. It's hard for 18, 19, 20-year-olds to travel, to go away from their comfort zone, their surroundings, and go to somebody else's place and win. And Columbus is close enough to Cincinnati where that would have turned into a home game for Cincinnati. So they would have had to really effectively go on the road and win in the NCAA tournament. And so the result of those first round games has created a laugher here where Tennessee is up 20 with 3 minutes left in the first half. On paper, the best game of the day by far is Buffalo, Texas Tech. That's the game where if you go by point spread, that, according to Vegas, is the best game today. You've got two games by point spread that are expected to be two possession games, so close games. Buffalo, Texas Tech, and then the other two are late games, Ohio State, Houston, Irvine, and Oregon. Three games with double-digit spreads, Washington, North Carolina, Central Florida, Duke, Oklahoma, Virginia. And yesterday, we had one 15-point game, one 28-point game, one 12-point game, one 20-point game, one 26-point game, one 14-point game. The 14-point game, Auburn had a 26-point lead at the half. So much for March Madness. Coming up next, the NFL and replay. They're going to screw it up again. Sorry, Saints fans. I'll tell you why next. It's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.